There seems to be a lot of confusion in the Christian world today about many Bible topics, subjects. One of the big areas of confusion deals with reward for works versus salvation through grace. I'd like for us to ask some questions that I believe will help us search out this topic today. The questions that I will propose are going to be elementary questions and probably questions that most every one of us would be able to give the correct or the right answer to them. But we may not know how or why we come to the answer that we have. In other words, we may just be repeating information, because when I've talked to some people about this topic, what I have learned is there are some who can state answers, but they really don't understand why it is. Now, Ted, this is a topic that we've not really spent much time on over the past several years. And so I do think that it's something that is very profitable whenever you see it. And I want to go back and I'm going to use another word, elementary. This is not the sermon of all sermons to end this topic. This is a foundational sermon, and I understand that. And so I want you to understand it from the beginning. Some people believe that eternal salvation is the reward of righteousness. Is that true? Why or why not? Can salvation be earned in any way? Is it a reward in any way? Is salvation only a matter of faith? And of course, there are other questions. At this time, I'd like for us to take a look at a few of the many Old Testament scriptures where the word reward is used in regard to righteousness. I'm going to tell you up front, I have a lot of scriptures. I will give you the reference and I will read these, and some of them you may not be able to turn to, just simply because to get them, we're going to have to go through them, you know, in a little bit more rapid pace. I actually had planned to, and I didn't, it was afterthought, was making a handout available for the scriptures, but I can do that at a later time. But anyway, we can go and do it in this way. These verses, I believe, will firmly establish the idea of reward in the Bible. And it's going to be ones that are in connection with righteousness. So let's start in Psalm 18. Psalm 18 in verse 20. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands has He recompensed me. Most of these verses, I'm just telling you up front, I'm not going to really make comment on them. The verses state it itself. Psalm 19 in verse 11. Psalm 19 in verse 11. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Now you can look in the context and see what it's talking about, but obviously it's God's way of life. Psalm 58 verse 11. Psalm 58 verse 11. So that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judges in the earth. And under this, let me cover one more, read one more. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 13, Proverbs 13 and verse 13, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. Now, the word meaning the word of God, which describes the way of life of God. So it's not just the words, it's not embracing and living a way of life of God. Whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that fears the commandment shall be rewarded. Now let's look at a few Old Testament verses that discuss the reward of evildoers. In other words, those who don't embrace the word of God, who are not living a righteous way of life. In Psalm 31, in verse 23, Psalm 31 in verse 23. O love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and plentifully rewards the proud doer. That's someone who's not doing it correctly. This proud doer is we'll put it as an evil person. They're going to be rewarded. That's the point. Isaiah 3 and verse 11. Isaiah 3, verse 11. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. So what we've seen so far is some scriptures pertaining to righteousness and reward, and we've seen some scriptures in regards to reward in connection to those living an unrighteous way of life. And reward has been mentioned in both cases. Now, it also seems that both Paul, the apostle, and Peter, the apostle, agreed with the Old Testament verses that we just read, and they also thought that evil was to be rewarded according to the evil works. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Paul believed that reward was connected to evil doings. He said, God reward him according to his evil deeds, the way that he has done things wrong. And then Peter over in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. 2 Peter 2 and verse 13. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. This brings it a little closer to home. This could be talking about people who actually attend services within the Church of God. But Peter makes it very plain, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. So yeah, I think that we can see. Yes, even the New Testament discusses reward, much to the chagrin of those people who want to deny that God is a rewarder. But it's very plain. You know the place. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. You probably have this as a memory verse. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, him being God. For he that comes to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after God. So God is a rewarder. There's no way that we can get around that. That is very easy to see. Even Jesus Christ himself discussed reward many times in many places. So let's take a look at a few of those. The book of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 5, in verses 12, starting in verse 12. But in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 is what is called the Sermon on the Mount. So he's taking the disciples up. He's teaching them some of these things privately. And then toward the end, in Matthew chapter 7, he's telling others who have joined them. But this is early. This is to the disciples. He's telling this early. Now it's been revealed because of the codification of the Bible and putting it out there with the words of Jesus. But anyway, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. He just told them, you're going to be persecuted. But your reward is going to be great, just like the prophets. This is what he's telling them. There is going to be a reward. That's the point that Jesus is making. Verse 46, for if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? So he's talking both sides here. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Matthew 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. So if you go out and you do it, there is no reward from God in that connection. take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, to be seen of men. That's the reason you're doing it, to be seen of men, it says. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. What we notice here is God does intend to reward. Verse 2. Therefore, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. That they receive glory of men. That's the reward for it. Is that the kind of reward that we want? You know, I don't think so. Continuing on in Matthew 6, verse 4, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father which sees in secret himself shall reward you openly. So it's very plain, it's very straightforward. What we see is God rewards. Yes, perhaps in the here and now. Maybe that's what we're seeing. Let's go on, verse 5. And when you pray, so he's going through and he's telling them how to live the right or the Christian way of life, and he's telling them how to do things. They have been in a situation, they, the disciples at that time, had been in an environment, in a social atmosphere within the Jewish religion. They have seen it being done incorrectly. And so Jesus is here, is telling them how to do these things in a correct manner. So he says, and so when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Having been seen of men, that's the reward for having done what they did. This is the point. Verse 6, but you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. There's reward. God is a rewarder, and we see this over and over. Let's drop down to verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. They look like they're fasting. And he says, don't do that. Verily I say unto you, you can fill it in with me, right? They have their reward. Verse 18. That you appear not unto men to fast, but unto your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Matthew 10, verses 41 and 42. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Now what they are, I'm not even dealing with. I'm just showing you that God rewards. This is the point. This is all that we're doing. Remember, this is elementary. Verse 42. And whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water, only in the name of the disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So there's a promise, there is reward for doing things, whether it be evil or whether it be good. There is reward. Because what I want you also to remember here, what we're looking at right at this point in this sermon is we are seeing places where Jesus himself discussed reward. I'll show you one more place here. Mark 9 and verse 41. Mark 9 and verse 41. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ. He says, if somebody else gives you a cup of water in the name of Jesus, because you belong to me. He didn't say the other person did or did not belong to Jesus, did he? That's an important key also, but that's another topic. Verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. So that's another. That's one of those that you go off on. But it's still an interesting thing to see. Brother, there can be no mistaking that Jesus Christ believed and taught that God provides rewards. In other verses, their reward could be thought of as for this life. I mean, I made that comment earlier. There is also reward in eternity. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, verse 27. Matthew 16 and verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward. He shall reward every man according to his works. The Son of Man is going to come. Jesus Christ is going to return, and He's going to bring rewards with Him. Luke 6 and verse 23. Rejoice you in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. It's going to be great reward. And there should be leaping and rejoicing and joy because of this. Drop down to verse 35. This is in Luke 6, 35. But love you your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. He's just giving us an illustration here of some of the examples of how to do some of these things. It is also apparent that in the Bible, reward is tied into doing, it's tied into labor, it's tied into works, and it's tied into effort. We notice the work or effort attached to reward in these next passages that I'm going to read. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8. Now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? Drop down to verse 14, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 14. If any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now you can see what I'm doing in this first sermon. You know there's going to be another one, right? In this first sermon, what am I doing? I'm laying this foundation and I'm nailing it down and nailing it down and nailing it down. There's not going to be any question when we get to the second, which may or may not be next week. Don't count on it, but it's going to be have laid down so thick, so there's not going to be able to undo this foundation to see other things as we go on to, well, what's next? 1 Corinthians 9, verses 17 and 18. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. In other words, it's done with the heart, willingly, from the heart. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. In other words, if I do it willingly from the heart, there's this reward. If I do it, but I'm not really doing it out of the passion of my heart, there's something else. What is my reward then? Verily that, or truly that, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Doesn't really get done. What really needs to get done, especially to this person who is to be doing these things. What is that reward? If you do it, yeah, there's some's going to be, yeah, the other person could be benefited, but am I benefited from it? Is there a reward, or what is the reward for a person who does it, but it's not really out of the right heart? Colossians 2:18. Let no man beguile you or deceive you of your own reward and a voluntary humanity and worshiping of angels. In other words, any type of, in the context would be any type of false teachings. Don't get off into false teachings. He's using the example of angels because they were into angel worship. It doesn't have to just be angels. It's a doctrine. It's something that is not correct. It's what he's saying. It's what he would be telling us. Intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Let no man deceive you of your reward or beguile you of the reward by taking you off into wrong things. Colossians 3 and verse 24. 3:24, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. 1 Timothy 5, verse 18. 1 Timothy 5, verse 18. For the Scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Remember what we were talking about? Works, labor, reward, all of these things, they go together. They are connected together. Effort, all of those things. So according to many, many biblical verses and passages, there is something God calls reward. Both Paul and John, the apostle, wrote of reward. But you see a couple of things in regards to that, what they said. Hebrews 10 and verse 35. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. I mean, this is all through, old and new. It's old and new. Okay, let's go to 2 John 1 and verse 8. 2 John 1 and verse 8. Look to yourselves that you lose not those things which you have wrought or worked, but that we receive a full reward. We're not even dealing with what the reward is, much less what is a full reward. We're just dealing with the topic that there is reward. I mean, that's the elementary. That's what we're dealing with. The Bible also clearly says that Jesus Christ is coming and will bring reward with him. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. Revelation 22 and verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. So it is clear, it's over and over and over, it's based upon effort and work and labor and those kinds of things. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 18. Revelation 11 and verse 18. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they shall be judged, and that you should give reward unto your servants the prophets and to the saints, and them that fear your name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. So the time has come. Just talking about at the return, this is referring to the return of Jesus Christ. The time has come that the servants of God, the people of God, are to receive reward. So, if the Bible does speak of reward, and it absolutely does, what happens to salvation by grace? Go with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans 4 and verse 4. Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned by grace, but of debt. Does this verse in Romans 4 verse 4, does this verse contradict all the verses that we've just read, that we've just examined? I want you to stop for a moment, and I want you to closely examine this verse, Romans 4, verse 4. Just what does this verse say? Let's go back and read it. Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned by grace, but by debt. Does it say anything about reward being done away with? The answer is no. Just as surely as there are verses, many verses in fact, that prove there is reward, there are also many, many verses that prove that salvation is by the grace of God. It is not a reward. And this is where the rub comes. This is where people start getting off track. This is where people lose their understanding and they don't comprehend this. Salvation is not a reward. Salvation is not something that can be earned by labor, effort, or works. Now, what I've been showing you is what? Rewards are. Now, I've just stated that salvation, it isn't earned by that. You go with me to Acts. Acts 15 and verse 11. Acts 15, verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Now he's talking about somebody else who is going to be saved also. Now go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 5. Ephesians 2 verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, having quickened us together. Quickened means to make alive. We were part of the world. We were dead. God called us. Jesus Christ started working with us and he made us alive. He brought us to life. This is that kind of thing. With Christ or by Christ. In parentheses it says, by grace you are saved. Okay? Verse 8. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So what is the answer? There is no contradiction. See, all of this was to go back to answer the question that I asked. So is there a contradiction with these verses, you know, in Romans chapter 4 and verse 4, with all the other verses? I coach you all of this to answer the question. The answer is no. There is no contradiction. God provides salvation through Jesus Christ as a free gift through faith. And he even supplies the faith as a gift. But there is also available reward. And this is where it really is that we've never really examined and really looked at it, I think, in the way that I believe that we're going to see. We could go back and we could re-examine every verse that we've already looked at, and we would realize that there is a serious reward God will hand out to the workers of evil. We can establish that. I think I can nail that down without any question. I don't think anybody who even wants to believe what is right would disagree with it. God, Scripture tells us, is not mocked. Now, just naturally speaking, people reap what they sow. We understand it, right? We all understand. We reap what we sow. Sowing evil can only result in a crop of dreadful, terrible things. But God is merciful to those who will turn to God, living God's way of life. The reason Jesus had to shed his life's blood was for payment for the sins of the entirety of the world, for all of us. And what happened was, in God's time, those who will choose to come to God and to live his way of life, they can come to God at his invitation. You would put there, John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. But this person has this attitude of wanting to do so. That is much easier, much easier, you know, to accept it when God does do the call. It's much easier if you got a right attitude, you're wanting to do right, not doing right because you don't know what is right, as opposed to knowing what is right and choosing not to do right. Those are two different things. When people choose to do that, when they choose to want to live God's way of life, they can receive God's free gift of salvation. Now, is there a lot more to that of how that happens? Oh, absolutely. You know, there's more in there, a lot more details that could be laid out. But that's the plan. That's it. That's how it happens. God calls, person chooses to either do it or not do it. And then as a result of making the right choices, this person has the gift of salvation offered to them. Now again, there's a lot more to that, but that's still the bottom line. This is about as simple as you can get it. Okay. Then they will also be eligible for reward based upon what they sow. According to the parables of Jesus, there are three things that apparently affect reward. One is what God gives to us to work with. Number two, how much time we have to work. And number three, how much effort we put into the work. I am obviously not going to explain all of this today. Maybe we can do that in a future study. So, even though salvation is a gift of God, and it is, to receive a positive reward in eternity, a person must also already have salvation. God wants profit from his investment. Luke 17 and verse 10 says, so likewise you, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. Now go to Matthew chapter 20 and verse 12. Matthew 20 and verse 12. Saying, the last have wrought or worked but 1 hour. And you have made them equal unto us, which have bore the burden and heat of the day. Okay, so what we need to understand is that salvation is available to people who live long in Jesus Christ, and also to those who may have been called near the end of their life. Salvation is available to people who have been around for a long time, and there are people who have been around for a very short time in their calling. I give an illustration. I mean, I can, you know, our understanding, and I'm not implying that I think that I know that our understanding is 100% true here. But if a person has God's Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is leading them in their lives, that person, from the way we understand, is going to be, shall we say, in the first resurrection. What if a person is baptized, come to repentance and is baptized and receives God's Holy Spirit at baptism and dies that night? As far as I understand, that person would be part of the first resurrection. That's somebody who is short in it. Now, in my case, I've needed a whole lot of shaping and molding, apparently, because I've been doing it for a long time. Came in contact with the church in 1962. This is a long time. This is not a brag. This is almost like it's taking him that long to get me to where he wants me to be. You know. But you see what I'm saying? You know, a lot of you have been around here for a long time, and there are people who have been here for a short time. And then the situation told you about a man dying that night. I was there. I witnessed the man having attended church for about 6 months. He had read the literature for about a year. He called in, was counseled, and said, "You want to come to church?" And he said, yes. He was there for about 6 months, counseled for baptism. And after the baptism, he was baptized on Sabbath afternoon, and he died during his sleep that night. Now, I believe that man, from what my understanding is, this man's going to be in the first resurrection. And I'm 100% okay with that. I know another man many years ago, and some of you may remember this. I'm not going to name names, but I remember a man who attended church with his wife who had been baptized for like 20 years. And was not baptized. Attended. Was a real nice man. Never baptized. Didn't commit to be. I'm not really part of this. This is my wife's church. I just go along with her. Went to the minister and started saying, "You know what? I think there's really something to this. I want to be baptized." Counseled with the minister, was baptized Sabbath afternoon, slept the night, got up Sunday morning. His wife is fixing him breakfast, sitting at the table, and he died that next morning. Is he going to be in the first resurrection? As far as I know, yeah, because I believe that the man's repentance was real and those kinds of things. But you see what I'm saying? Salvation is available to people who have been long time in Jesus and also those who may have been called near the end of their days. Jesus Christ spoke a parable that says that very thing. It's in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 1. "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into the field." You know this story. You know this story. "And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out the third hour. He went out the sixth hour. He goes out the ninth hour. And he goes out the 11th hour. And he's telling these people, he says, well, why don't you come and work? Well, no one has hired me yet. Well, go in the field and I will give you what is right." And so it comes down to it, and then it says, "Go you into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall we receive." Verse 8, "So when even was come," when the job was over, the day was over, "the Lord of the vineyard said unto his stewards, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning with the last unto the first." So the guys who had been out there for 1 hour, had called in at the 11th hour, worked 1 hour. And then they're told, and they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed, because they had received more, they would receive more, and likewise received every man a penny. They didn't understand what it really was. And that's the point. And there's so many people today do not understand what this is even referring to. "And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have worked but 1 hour. And you have made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered and said unto friend, I have done you no wrong." So that's the first thing to understand. There wasn't anything wrong in this. Their understanding wasn't correct. "Did you not agree with me for a penny? Take that as yours and go your way. I will give unto the last, even as unto you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is your eye evil because I am good?" It's a question we have to think about when we start making comparisons with other people. Now, look at another passage, and I think that will verify what has just been spoken. Luke 18 and verse 28. "Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed you. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold, many times over, more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting." I think it gets a little clearer, even from the ones we've just seen, when we look at this next passage. So go with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll read verses 9 through 15. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 9 through 15. Verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest or made known. For the day shall declare it. Remember the principle, reap what you sow. Whatever it is, it's going to come back. You're going to see it, good or not good. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. We're all going to be judged. He is talking about salvation, and now he's talking about reward. It's like the scriptures, unless the words are written, this is how people get it mixed up. They misunderstand when it is talking about salvation, and so many times they think that's reward. And then there are times when he's talking about reward, they think that he's talking about salvation. They don't understand it, which is which and which is the other. And that's really part of the bottom line to where this confusion is coming from. They don't know which one is being referred to because they don't know how to separate them out. The laborers in the vineyard, the comparison, I mean, what is that, the labor in the vineyard, the penny being offered, what is that a comparison to? Is that reward or is that salvation? Is it reward or is it salvation? He's talking about salvation, and they thought it was reward. We've been here all the time. We should get more. What is more than salvation in the kingdom of God? If you're in the kingdom, you're in the kingdom. But see, there also is this thing called labor, work, and effort, and how much you put into it, and that's reward. And that's something else. Psalm 103 and verse 10. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Aren't we glad? This verse shows we do not have to die for our sins. We all sin, come short of the glory of God. What we see is there's hope. Now we understand we have that hope, and we also understand that Jesus Christ is our hope. And we also understand that Jesus Christ is our confident assurance. We know we have an assurance that these things are going to happen because we have the life of Jesus Christ to show us that it's going to happen. Brethren, thankfully, God does not reward us according to our iniquities. It is only those who refuse to embrace and refuse to live God's way of life that have to die for their iniquities. God is so loving, so merciful, so kind, so gentle, so forgiving that He forgives us. And people put all of that in there together with the lack of understanding of reward, lack of understanding of salvation, and they put that in there also. And so I'm kind of bringing this all to the end and showing you that there's all kinds of confusion. Again, like I said, today what I've done, I've tried to just lay down, nail down without any questions. There could still be some questions, but those are, I think, easily to be explained. But to nail down the foundation, the elementary principles of reward and salvation. So, yes, one of the big areas of confusion today does deal with reward for works versus salvation through grace. And what I hope has been accomplished today is that this has been helpful in removing at least some of the confusion here today. And God willing, we'll be able to give another part to this and go in further and kind of put it all together and see more of, well, what do you do to receive rewards? If I can receive salvation as a gift of God because I'm choosing to live God's way of life, and God in His greatness is going to give me salvation, then what can I do to receive more reward? A question to think about, and I'll end with this, just to end it with this question. Have you ever thought about how you can receive more reward in the kingdom of God? And we will end with the Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. And I will bless them. God bless you.